Thank you so much for joining us. We believe at Restoration Church that God wants to work and move powerfully in your life. And we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at amen@r4sq.org. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, saints, we're starting a new series on the life of Jesus. Today's message is entitled, Bread is Not Enough. Bread is not enough. John chapter 6, verses 27 through 29. John chapter 6, verses 27 through 29. Anybody want to read for me? Can you read for me, why? Thank you.
Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life,
Amen.
Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent."
Amen. Bread is not enough. In this series, we're going to be studying the life of Jesus, maybe in ways you never thought of and you never thought to study Jesus or consider. The life Jesus lived has and still is impacting mankind today, both circles, both Christian circles and non-Christian circles alike. As a Christian, Jesus is our example to follow. In this life, there are many trials and tribulations that's going to arise, and we're going to face them. Amen. The struggles of this life comes to us all. One of the biggest advantages we have over all other religions is the life of Jesus. As we move forward in this life, mankind as a whole come to realize that there has to be more to this life than what's physically available. There is a steady growing discontentment that occurs in all mankind as he or she gets older in life. There comes to a point in which we realize that all the running and the chasing after what this world has to offer still leaves us with what I call a frustrated emptiness. It's like trying to fulfill a strong physical appetite off tomato soup. Hey, amen, that ain't gonna work, right? It's like trying to quench a thirst with salt water. It just ain't going to happen. Just those scenarios alone just get me frustrated. Amen. Just thinking about it. But the essence of this behavior, we produced it when we lived in the world. Amen. That's what we was doing. We was running after things that really never really fulfilled us. Amen. Okay. So let's open up our hearts and our minds to Jesus, not as just Lord and Savior, but let's study Jesus as a man. Let's look at him with the same temptations of the flesh like you. Let's look at Jesus and start studying him as a man. Because Jesus started and finished this race we're in. So let's focus on how he did it. First point we'll cover this morning is called spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. As humans, we have physical bodies. These bodies comes with... In essence, they come with needs. And these physical needs come in the form of nutrients that we got to have to function. Amen. Nutrients are a substance that provide nourishment essential for growth and maintenance for life. We get our nutrients from food or meals. Most of us consume 2 to 3 meals a day. What causes us to eat so much a day? The driving force that causes us to consume these meals daily is called an appetite or hunger. Hunger is defined as a craving or urgent need for food or specific nutrients. An uneasy sensation occasioned by the lack of food. A weakened condition brought about by prolonged lack of food. Synonyms for hunger are a longing, a yearning, a thirst, an appetite. In John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water meaning born in this physical realm, born of water, and the spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which born of the flesh is flesh, and that which born of the spirit is spirit." Amen. "Do not marvel, I say, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." When one becomes born again, this experience happens on the inside or in your spirit. Your spirit becomes alive. You become aware of the newness. Everything physically is still the same, but inwardly we sense new desires that produces an appetite. The Bible calls this the inner man or the spirit man. Ephesians 3:16 says, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." This inward man or spirit man has an appetite for spiritual food so he can be or it can be strengthened. Your spirit needs to be fed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. "Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you may grow into the full experience of your salvation. Cry out for nourishment. Now that you have had tasted of his kindness." All right. All right. I need three people. Three people. Anybody want to come? Three. Come on, Kurt. I see you. One. Two. Take a seat. Trinity, come over here. All right. And Kurt, you can get right in the middle. All right. Now, the Bible says that we are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. All right, each person here represents a part of the Christian anatomy. The Christian anatomy. Christians and people are triune beings, just like God is. They're three parts, all right? And those three parts consist of the physical body. And then the Bible talks about our soul. We have a soul, all right? So we live in a body. Our body is not who we are, and we have a soul. And we also have a spirit, all right? And the spirit is what we're going to focus on today, all right? The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. This is where your character is. This is what you don't like. This is what you like. This is where your personality is. This is where your mind, your what you think on, your memory banks, your intelligence, your will, what you want, your desires, what you like, what you don't like, and your emotions. Amen. What you feel. I just feel like, I just think, I just want to. Amen. Those three areas. When you hear those terms, that comes from your soul. All right? All right. When a person becomes born again, your spirit, we are made in the image of God. The Bible says we are spirit. God is spirit. And so God made us in his image. And that image is a spirit being. We are spiritual beings. As humans, we are spiritual beings. We've been made in the image of God. Now, this is a lot of information that we're going to cover today. It's going to be dealing with the spirit man. And the spirit man, once he becomes born again, he's very, and the reason I got Trinity in this chair versus Jalen and Kurt, normally when we become born again, this area is the most prominent area of our lives, all right? What I mean by prominent is more dominant. What we feel, what we think has been influenced by the world. Now, this is the flesh, all right? It's by influence by the world. It's more dominant. It's more prominent when we first get saved. So when we get saved, this is a we get, you know, born again, and now we have these new desires or new sensations that's sent into our soul. Amen. And our soul begins to say, okay, maybe you need to start going to church because it's coming from. You want to know where it's coming from? It's coming from your spirit. Your spirit has been made in the image of God. And when you become born again, this area becomes alive in you. This is where Jesus is actually dwelling in you. This is where the Holy Spirit connects to your human spirit, and now you can connect with God because of this area right here. This is really who you are now when you become born again. You are not your flesh. The Bible says, know no man after the flesh. They tried to know Jesus after the flesh. What did they try to do? Isn't it just Mary's boy? But they didn't know Jesus after the Spirit. After the Spirit, Jesus was the Son of God. Right? So when Jesus would walk around talking about, he told them that this, you know, this prophecy is being fulfilled in your ears. And he told them all that basically, you know, the Messiah is here. But they analyzed Jesus after the flesh. They analyzed, hold up, ain't you just Mary's boy? Hey, Joseph the carpenter? We've been knowing y'all for years. How you gonna be the Son of God? Right? But they didn't recognize Jesus after the Spirit, because in the Spirit, he was the Son of God, definitely, all right? So, but Jesus didn't even recognize himself after the flesh. They came to Jesus one time, asking him, and they said, Jesus, your mother and your brother out here, they come, they want to meet you. And Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother? Those who do the will of my Father, these are my brothers and sisters here. He said, I'm from above, you from beneath. I am not of this world, you are others. They said, hold on, Jesus, how you not of this world? And when you just Mary's boy, amen? But Jesus said, I am from above. And this spirit man and your spirit man is from above. You are a son of the Most High God. Not after the flesh, but it's something in you. When you become born again, all mankind been created in the image of God. But when Adam sinned, they cut relationship off with God. They cut off the access that God had to man. Now God had to work his way back into man, like we talked about last week. Adam cut that relationship off. So now man's spirit is dormant or separated from God or without influence. Now the spirit can't influence the soul. And now what's alive in man? Selfishness, what I want. The soulless man becomes dominant. The soulless man becomes very prominent. What I want, how I feel, which way I like it. Amen. And this is what we're learning to reverse now that we're becoming born again. Amen. We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We must change what we want, change what we will, change how we feel. Amen. And not allow our soulless man to dictate to us how we gonna be. And start learning, who is this new man? Who am I? What's my identity now that I'm in Christ? So to line this up with the scriptures, this man becomes born again, or you start new. Amen. With this man, though, you have new desires. You have a new appetites. You have different inclinations. You start wanting to come to church, wanting to do the right thing. That's where all this comes from. And it sends signals to your mind, your will. Won't you go to church? Won't you read? Won't you pray? And start doing, because this man right here loves everything spiritual. It loves it. It loves it. I'm telling you, it's what Jesus is. It's where you are, where your addictions about this type of life comes from. This is, but we have to start believing. We have to start putting faith to get it out. Amen. Now I want y'all to turn to that wall. Turn right. Amen. Turn. There you go. Thank you. So, as people, we live in this world. This is the world. This is the body. We live in a world, amen, that has all kind of temptations, all kind of influences. And the body got all its appetites, you know, the hunger and all the senses of the body is in the body. But majority what rules the body is this soul. This soul. This soul, depending on how much time we've been putting out here in the world, what we've been spending time doing, what we've been spending time looking at, we're influencing our soul. This is what gives us the desires that's in the flesh. What we spend time doing out here in the world, all right? And when you become born again, Jesus has to flow through your soul to get out into this world. Your spirit has to flow through your mind, your will, and your emotions, and that's what controls the body. What you want, how you feel, and what you think. This is why Jesus has to renew your mind so he can get his power out into the world. All right? And then, but this soul has to come under subjection to the Spirit. That's why we have to yield to the Spirit and say, Lord, I give you permission. All right? And more of this will be explained in the spirit, soul, and body class that we'll be having just starting January 11th. But let's bring emphasis on the spirit. The spirit is where you become born again, or your connection with God starts. And the purpose of your connection with God is so he can influence this world we living in. But it has to be filtered through your soul. Your soul is where a lot of your doubt and unbelief come from. You'll have mixed emotions. One day you want to do what God say. The next day you want to do what the flesh say. Amen. But this soul has to come under subjection to the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you. And this only can be done by faith. You have to start believing and accepting what God says about you. All right? So bread is not enough. So why do you want to come to church? Why do you want to do spiritual things? It's because you're spirit man. All your desires from God comes from your spirit man. Amen. The second point, his word is food. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Jesus is revealing to us here that physical food isn't enough to sustain him. Amen. Jesus said here, the words that come from the Father God's mouth is a form of substance that he consumes. God's word is to be consumed and eaten. If Jesus had to feed on the words that came from God's mouth, then here we see here another great example that Jesus leaves us that we should follow after. The devil is tempting Jesus to eat, but Jesus responds with the scriptures. And I submit to you, this is the word that Jesus had already consumed and is supplying him sustenance in the wilderness. How did Jesus survive in the wilderness? It was off God's word. It was another source. And the wilderness represents a place where there you can't survive unless God is with you. There's two representations of the wilderness in the Bible. You got the wilderness that the Israelites went through when they was coming out of Egypt, and it was rough. Then you have Jesus' wilderness, where you are faced with many temptations, you're faced with many trials, and you come out with victory. Amen? Because it is possible, especially if your source of life is coming from something else other than what you see and feel. So you can face any problem, and it don't matter how dry it is, if you have Jesus to feed your spirit man, you can make it. The Bible says it's the spirit of the man that keeps him strong within trials, under pressure. If this man right here get fed and is strong, you can make it. Of course, we need to be fed, but amen. We've been feeding on some stuff for years, amen. And it's time to start feeding the right man more of the nutrients it needs. All right? If anything that's alive, it needs to be fed. Amen. John 6:63 says, "It is the spirit that gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus is the word, and the words Jesus spoke, they are spirit and life. Jesus' words has substance and nutrients in them for your spirit man. Amen. Jesus' words is spiritual food for the inner man to grow and mature as a believer. Spirit man must be fed. It must be fed. And this is important. If you don't seem to have an appetite or have lost a taste for the word, I believe if you are born again and have Jesus, you can ask for the desires for the word and for the things of God. These things God would love to answer. These prayers he would love to answer. Amen. And if you don't have an appetite at all for God's word, maybe you need to become born again. Amen. And if you used to have an appetite for the word, then we can always get that back by repenting and ask Jesus to help us so we can start cultivating. Because most of the time, we start out, our spirit man is very small. It's a baby. It's very immature. But as we start feeding in the word, stand up, Trin. As we start feeding in God's word, the spirit man is supposed to have a lot more say in your life. Or God's word, or the way of God, the thinking of God, supposed to have a lot more say over your soulish man. Your mind, as you start maturing, we understand that everybody start out at different levels and have different desires. But as a spirit being, we're supposed to be growing and maturing in the things of God. Amen. So that's why we should have patience with one another, because everybody at different levels and everybody don't have the same revelation as you do. But I still supposed to be able to love you. Amen. Who cares if, you know, praise God. Everybody at different levels, praise the Lord. And we're supposed to be able to love people. But we are supposed to be growing. Amen. We are supposed to be growing. Y'all give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help me, Kurt. Help me take these over here. Thank you. All right, I'm going to give you my testimony. I asked the Lord. I started out, many of you know me and heard my testimony. Many of you haven't, and I'm going to tell you again. Because I believe it has a lot to do with how I am today. At one point in time in my life, I didn't serve the Lord. Amen. I was after myself and what I wanted in life. Amen. And so when the Lord started dealing with me, though. He started, you know, I started looking at everything. I started seeing signs in commercials and just little things. You know, just little things. We start seeing signs. I start caring about death because I was doing drugs and snorting cocaine, all kind of pills. The type of lifestyle we was living, you could die at any time. But you just living in it. You just think you're just living in it. But looking back, I could die any moment. And Jesus started working on me. So I was laying in my bed with my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time. And Jesus came on me. And I'm laying in my bed, and Jesus came on me, and I started crying, and I started crying. And the reason, I don't know why I was crying, but the Lord was harassing me. He felt like he was harassing me anyway. And I said, okay, Lord, okay, you know, like that, in my bed. But the next morning, I got up, and I forgot about that, you know, and I went to the Bisto. Actually, I cashed my check, went to the Bisto, went to the dope man house, and went over my homie's house, and we was finna roll up a blunt, right? And this guy knocked on the door. He was like, boom, boom, boom. He was trying to recruit people to sell insurance. So I had agreed to go back to his office later to sign some papers because I was like, man, I can sell make some quick money with my family members. I wasn't gonna do it forever, but just some quick money. Went back to the office later. He said everything checked out. We were sitting there. He looking at me, and he asked me this question. He said, what about Jesus? And this was back in 2003. He said, what about Jesus? And when he said, what about Jesus, all the emotions from last night came on me. So he seen a tear come down, and he said, come follow me to the house. So I followed him to the house, and when I got in the car, my mind went flipping, you know. I'm sure most of y'all can experience, know what I'm talking about. Everything that was wrong with my life, the pressure for me to stop came on me. So he was like, you about to stop having sex? You about to get married? You know, just these thoughts coming to my head. You finna stop smoking and drinking? And I was just so in thought when I was following him, I didn't notice traffic, nothing. I'm just gone. And then the devil pulled his last trick card. He said, you don't know this guy. You just met him. Pull off. And so before I knew it, we sitting in front of his house. I'm like, wow, how did we get here that fast? You know? And so when I got in the room and I sat on his couch. And come to find out, he a preacher. Sat on his couch, he read Romans 10:13 to me, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when he said that scripture, the only thing that I can relate that to is when we was little, my daddy used to walk around the house praying, but he would make us as children call on Jesus. And we would just sit there, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we'd just be calling for nothing, just redundantly calling on Jesus. We would be playing calling on Jesus. Jesus, 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 get out of it. But when he said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what my mind went back to. So when he asked me was I was ready, my palms were sweating. And I stood up, and I lifted my hands up. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the third time, fourth time I said, Jesus, boom, something hit me. And it was as if this something warm hit my head and went all through my body. I was crying like a baby. Boy, I was crying. And I didn't even know why I was crying. But he was coaching me to say, keep calling on Jesus. Call on God. Call on Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, I'm still calling on him, crying. I'm really like, what in the world going on? Because you don't have no reference point on what's happening in this world. And when this was happening to me, one side of me was like, oh, this feels good. Oh, this is good. And another side was like, what in the world going on? What is he doing to me? And so I went over to my homies. I had weed in my pocket, beer in the trunk, went on my homie's house smoking a blunt, and I said, man, Jesus is real. And I've been talking about Jesus ever since. Ever since that day, I've been talking about Jesus and wondering about this spirit life that I'm in. All right? Something came alive in me. It came alive in me. And right after that, Jesus started leading me not to smoke no more. I tried to keep hanging out with them, just my buddies, you know what I'm saying? Then he told me to get married. It was an appetite that occurred on the inside of me that started. And Jesus taught me, he started teaching me to feed it. Now, I didn't know what was going on, but the more and more I did what Jesus said, the more and more this life became more alive in me. Amen. It started becoming what I was addicted to now. It started becoming my high. It started becoming my drink and my smoke. It started becoming what I started to run to instead of what I used to run to. And Jesus was shifting my desires to the Spirit. Amen. But without transformation or without the born again experience, without baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have zero desire. You know you should, but no drive to go do it. And even in the world, I knew a lot of stuff we did was wrong, but I never felt like it was wrong inside until I got born again. That's when I started really getting convicted. Like, for the first time, stuff started being wrong. Even though I knew it was wrong, but I felt like I killed somebody. And that's your spirit, man, coming alive in you, showing you no. Now, I don't do that. And that's what my job is. My job is to feed your spirit. I would love to give you some intellectual knowledge, impress you with many faceted words, but I want to give you something to feed your spirit, because this is what you're going to need to sustain you for life. A lot of people are deprived of spiritual food. A lot of people are deprived of spiritual food. John 4, verse 31 through 34. Third point. Obedience is food indeed. John 4, 31 through 34. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Listen to that, saints. Not only is God's word food, but Jesus is expressing right here also, as a man, not just because he was Jesus, but he is expressing here that his food was to do the will. And I encourage you to eat the will of God for your life. I encourage you. He said, "This is my food," because they said, "When you ate, Jesus, you was hungry. We went to the store to feed," because this was the time where the woman at the well, he had just got through talking with the woman at the well. The disciples had left to go find food before this occurrence. And Jesus dealt with the woman at the well. Then this is after the woman at the well. They coming back with food, and Jesus is teaching them now, "I have food that you know not of." There is more life given to you when you decide to not only consume the word, but also do the will of God for your life. This is why Jesus was so effective in this world. The reasons for Jesus' victory lies in these concepts we are teaching you this morning. It's not just because he was the Son of God or God in the flesh. Jesus was also a man that had to decide to accomplish the assignment of God for his life. Jesus had work to do for the Father. This work was Jesus' main objective while he was here on earth. We are the results of the obedience of Jesus that he carried out from the Father. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Listen to that. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth as a man saying, I can't do nothing of myself. That shows that Jesus was dependent on the Father. That shows that Jesus would not talk about, the reason I can do this is because I'm the Son of God. No, he had a dependency. Jesus chose to depend and had nutrients that he was getting from Father God. John 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. All right? So Jesus chose to carry out the Father's commands. The devil isn't your problem. Your family feud isn't the problem. Them hard to deal with co-workers isn't your problem. Not willing to carry out God's will for your life is the actual problem. Many Christians are suffering from a spiritual malnutrition. Malnutrition is defined as a lack of nutrients caused by not having enough to eat, not eating enough of the right things, or being unable to use the food that one does eat. This deficiency comes from not consuming Jesus' teachings and not doing God's will for your life. But you are not alone. We are here to help you. I am here to feed you. As a pastor, I have a responsibility from Jesus to feed his sheep. And I have to feed you truth. I have to feed you with what your spirit needs, not necessarily what you want from the flesh, but what do you need to grow and become a mature believer? Amen. And we're here to help you. You are not alone. The Lord has taught me many things. He has taught me many things. And you can have an appetite. Listen, bread is not enough to sustain you. Bread is not enough just for survival. You need some spiritual food. You need your spirit man fed. And it has to be fed God's word. Amen. But if you don't have an appetite, you can ask for one. The Lord will give you an appetite for him if you want him, because God will never make us do nothing. And this is what I did. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't feel like doing none of this stuff. Even when I first got saved, I ain't feel like doing none of this stuff. But I said, if you give me the desires, I'll do it, because we really do what we want to. You think about it. If you're giving your will over to something, that's the desires that are going to come from you. Amen. So we're learning to place our affections and our desires on Jesus and how to get hooked on him. But this has to happen as we yield ourselves to the Lord and be honest with him. Let it be said that I prophesy over every last one of you. You have a strong hunger for God. I prophesy in the name of Spirit to come alive in Jesus' name. Come alive in the name of Jesus. And if you want it, receive it. Come alive even more than what you have now. A lot of y'all do have a hunger for God. But it's more the Lord wants us to have. And I command teachers and prophets to come forth. In Jesus' name, I command teachers and God's will for your life to come forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. This is not your year, but his year. This is his year for your life. Amen. And I prophesy over every last one of you, the will of God come forth out of you in in Jesus' name. And all that doubt and unbelief, leave it in 2016. Everybody repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for making me a new creature with new desires, with new appetites. I am a soul winner. I follow you in every area. I am a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being that love to do what you say. In Jesus' name, I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I will not have a broke day in 2017. Come on now. I will not have a broke day in 2017. I will not have a stress day in 2017. I am learning to cast all my cares on you. I am learning to cast all my cares on you. I forget those things which are behind. I forget those things which are behind. And I press forward. I press forward to the will of God for my life in 2017. Now, if you believe that, shout like it's done. Woo! Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Yes. Go ahead and say how it's going to be in 2017. I'm telling you. Prophesy over your year. Don't just wish. We got to speak. Amen. And we give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Any prayer requests? Anybody need prayer requests before we head out? Before we head out. Well, we love you. Thank God for you. We appreciate you coming. We give you the praise, Father, for your beautiful people that you have entrusted me to care for, Lord. I pray you give me the wisdom on how to help them grow and mature in the things of you. I don't know it all, Lord God, but I know you do. Yes. I know you do, Lord. So I trust you and look to you, Lord God. These are your people. This is your church. I am your servant. And we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We hope you've been blessed. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Be blessed and have a great week.